Chapter 10.
Run away, yeah, with me.
A few months later, the situation on Gaul is improving. Melodon's emergency housing is now filled, and the expectation is that within 2 months, the first families can return, to everyone's great relief. Another relief is that nothing has happened on Melodon. No separatist threats, no further assassination attempts, just business as usual. That all changes one morning. Obi-Wan is in his office with Sarasi and Neeld for their daily catch-up meeting when the Force rings in alarm, a panic not his own washing over him. He stops mid-sentence to look at the door. "Obi-Wan?" Sarasi asks. Delia bursts into the room, wide-eyed and frantic. The panic that surrounds her like a storm cloud is so intense, Obi-Wan nearly chokes on it. "It's Fives!" she cries. "What?" Sarasi asks, out of her chair in an instant and rushing over to Delia. Neeld has dropped his pad on the table and is watching with a worried frown, while Obi-Wan takes a deep breath, trying to not get overwhelmed by the whirlwind of panic and worry currently taking over the room. "He's in danger," Delia exclaims, and when Sarasi gently urges her to sit down in a chair, goes easily. "We have to go help him before they find him and they want to kill him." There's a flash of horror in the Force from Delia, along with confusion from Neeld and Sarasi, which, Obi-Wan has to admit, he is feeling as well. "Delia," he says, and gets up out of his chair so he can round the table to where Delia is sitting. He puts a hand on her shoulder and gives her a gentle smile. "Breathe. Calm down." Sarasi squats down next to the chair, and after Delia has taken a few deep breaths, softly asks, "Now, what happened?" To no one's surprise, Fives and Delia have stayed in touch since meeting on Gaul. Theirs is a quick romance, burning like a forest fire, and Obi-Wan is happy Delia has found someone that she's fallen in love with. Now, however, he worries. Delia takes a shuddering breath. "Fives sent me a comm. He's on Coruscant, but something's wrong. He said they're hunting him." "Who?" Obi-Wan gently coaxes. Delia looks up at him. "The Gar." Obi-Wan frowns. "The Gar hunting one of their own? Why?" Delia shakes her head. "I don't know. He said something about ships, but I don't know what that means. But something isn't right. He didn't sound like Fives at all. So scared and confused." She pauses for a moment, reaching into her pocket and placing a small holoprojector on the table. She looks at it with heartbreak in her eyes before she whispers, "There's also this." An image flickers up, and a white flash of shock with it. Staring back at them is Fives, his tattoo and goatee unmistakable. Wanted by the Galactic Republic, ARC 5555. Offense, high treason. Bounty, 50,000, paid upon capture. The Arabesh flashes red on the holo, almost like an invitation. In a way, it is. "Buck," Neeld curses. "Delia," Sarasi mumbles, soft and careful, and above all, unsure. Delia looks around the room, her eyes pleading. "We have to go and help him." The Force gives an agreeing nudge. Obi-Wan resists the urge to sigh, because of course he's meant to get involved in this. "Perhaps," he mumbles, in reply to both Delia and the Force. Neeld's eyes snap to Obi-Wan. "He's a fugitive." "It's Fives," Delia argues. Neeld turns to her instead. "Are you fucking serious? Delia, don't tell me I have to list all the reasons why we can't." Standing up from being squatted down next to Delia's chair, Sarasi frowns. "Do you know what he did?" "He didn't say. Maybe he couldn't," Delia asks, desperately looking up at Sarasi. "But Fives, he's got a big mouth, but a heart of gold. He'd never..." "Please, guys, what if it was Milu or Cody?" Obi-Wan winces at the question, because he knows very well what he'd do if their roles were reversed. And he's quite certain it's the same for Sarasi. "What do you suggest we do?" he asks. Delia gives him a small, grateful smile. Fives is hiding on Coruscant. If we can get him out of there into Melodon, we can't hide a Republic fugitive on Melodon just because you're fucking him. "Kneeled," Sarasi admonishes. "What?" Kneeled demands. Obi-Wan glares at his friend. "Have some compassion." "Okay." Kneeled takes a deep breath and rubs a hand over his temple. "Okay, the situation sucks." "And we can help," Delia presses. Kneeled looks conflicted. Obi-Wan understands. It's an incredibly reckless idea to smuggle a wanted man out of the Republic and hide him on their own planet without knowing what exactly he's done. But the Force is adamant that this is the right thing to do. So, sensing an opening, Obi-Wan looks at Kneeled and says, "There are still so many refugees from Gaul. One extra person won't stand out." Kneeled turns to Sarasi. "And what do you think?" "If it was Milu, I'd do it," she admits softly. "Okay, yes, fine. Fine. We'll bring the fugitive to Melodon." Kneeled looks ready to murder all three of them. Fuck, this is a terrible idea. It will take them 4 days to get to Coruscant, and that is with the new ship Padme graciously gifted them as replacement for the one that got shot down. It is, thankfully, also bigger than their old ship, which means it's comfortable enough for two people and will also fit three, even if that means not everyone gets their own bunk, considering there are only two. Delia has offered to share with Fives, but Obi-Wan would like to know how the man is doing before taking her up on that offer. For all they know, he's in need of medical care and will need the bed. Thankfully, after her initial bout of panic, Delia has stayed relatively calm and collected. Not that Obi-Wan is surprised. There is a good reason why she is their Minister of Defense, after all, and in these kind of situations, it shows. Clear-headed and analytical, Delia's pulled up a hollow of the Coruscant lower levels where Fives has hidden himself away. The two have had very little contact due to insecurity about any potential calls being tracked, which also means that while Fives knows they're coming and Delia has a general idea of where the other is hiding, they haven't arranged a meeting place and time yet. The current plan is for Delia and Obi-Wan to get to Coruscant, and when they've found a suitable location, to send Fives their coordinates and hope for the best. But for now, they can only hope Fives remains hidden until they reach their destination. When they reach Coruscant, they're quickly cleared by Coruscant Spaceport Authority and assigned a docking bay. Phew. Delia slumps against the co-pilot seat and gives Obi-Wan a nervous grin. Somehow, I thought they wouldn't let us through. Obi-Wan chuckles as he slowly steers the ship into the docking bay. Considering we've done nothing wrong, yet, there is nothing to worry. He trails off as he gets a good first look at the people in the docking bay. The ship lands with a soft thud, but neither Obi-Wan nor Delia truly notice. Normally, there's only spaceport personnel and mechanics around. But here, in the docking bay they have just landed in, stand men in painfully familiar armor. The white and red are a flash of color against the drab gray and muted browns of the spaceport. The Coruscant Guard. Fuck, Delia curses. Obi-Wan swallows. It's fine, probably. Delia gets out of her seat with a scoff. Right. The Force is calm, so I have no reason to think we should be worried, he explains. That doesn't mean he isn't worried at all, because what are they doing here? Is this a coincidence? Are they on to them? He forces himself to go through the post-landing checks. He calls an affirmative for landing to the Spaceport Authority and then starts shutting down the ship. He dares a quick glance at the guards at the docking bay entrance. 4 in total. Nothing we can do about it anyway, he says. Just try not to look too suspicious. Delia sends him a wry smile. Which means you can do the smooth talking. Obi-Wan chuckles. I'm sure you could too. Let's not try that now, Delia replies, with a bark of laughter as she walks out of the cockpit. This isn't the moment for taking risks. Obi-Wan spares a last look at the men approaching their ship now that it's powered down. He can't help but think that, for some reason, this doesn't feel like a risk at all. That doesn't mean he doesn't put up a bit of a facade when Delia and him walk down the lowered ramp. "Gentlemen," he greets the guards with a friendly smile. "What a welcome for our unannounced visit." One of the men steps forward, his armor more red than white, and he stands with his back straight and arms behind his back.
"I'm Commander Fox with the Coruscant Guard," he says his introduction. "Could you please show me the flimsy work for your vessel while my men conduct a quick search?"
"Search our ship?" Obi-Wan asks in slight alarm. "Of course we will allow it, but may I ask why this is necessary? Our ship has never been searched before." A little white lie, of course. Obi-Wan hasn't been on Coruscant since he left the Order. But he can't imagine that an army stretched as thin as the Gar would conduct a search of every vessel arriving on Coruscant. Commander Fox gives his men a hand sign, and all three pass Obi-Wan and Delia as they board the ship to start their search.
"Standard procedure. We have a fugitive on Coruscant. We're checking all in and outgoing ships."
Obi-Wan feigns surprise. "A fugitive? Should we be worried?"
"On Coruscant?"
the commander asks, and Obi-Wan is quite certain he hears a huff of amusement despite the other's helmet still being on. "No more than usual. Your flimsy work, please." "Of course, of course." Obi-Wan turns to Delia. "Did you bring it?" Delia gives him a nervous smile. "Of course," she says, and slips her backpack off of her shoulders. After a quick rummage through, she pulls out the data card that contains the ship's essential information. She hands it to the commander.
"Thank you."
The commander nods and takes his pad out of the case strapped to his utility belt, inserting the card to read the information.
"This won't take long."
While they wait, Obi-Wan decides to try his luck and see if he can get any information out of the commander, and conversationally says, "This must all be very inconvenient for you, all the additional work of searching ships." Commander Fox's helmet tips up, and for a moment, his visor rests heavily on Obi-Wan. The Force trembles in anticipation for a moment, and then he says,
"We manage an 18-hour surveillance from 6 till 12 a.m.
Delia's surprise and excitement bubbles in the Force. Those feelings are an echo of Obi-Wan's own, because are they really being told, quite casually so, when they can slip away unnoticed? Why the gap? And why tell them about it? Does news, gossip, travel so quickly in the Gar that a commander on Coruscant would know of either Delia or him? Could that mean that the man in front of them is trying to help in perhaps the only way he can? It almost sounds too good to be true. But certainly, Commander Fox is smarter than to share this by accident, and the words ring sincere and true in the Force, if slightly apprehensive. Obi-Wan almost can't believe it, but it truly seems like they have found themselves an ally. Commander Fox gives a small shrug.
"No business departures, and any sane civilian is asleep. The few ships that do leave in the dead of night, I'll happily allow so my men can rest."
"Understandable," Obi-Wan nods. "The Gar never properly rests, from what I hear." The commander sighs.
"That is unfortunately true."
He turns back to his pad and taps the screen. Obi-Wan can't quite see what he is doing, but he's most likely checking and verifying the ship's information against the Galactic Vessel Licensing Registry. Delia and him wait patiently and silently for the other to finish. After a minute or two, the commander's back straightens and he gives a small nod, almost like he's talking to someone. That's when the three other troopers leave the ship. Commander Fox ejects the card from his pad, holding it out to Delia.
"All clear on the ship."
"Thanks," Delia says as she takes the card. She flashes the commander a cheeky grin. "Hope you catch your fugitive soon." The commander looks at her for a moment. They can't see his eyes, but it's obvious he is dead on staring at her. Obi-Wan wonders if the commander thinks her as insane as he does. Commander Fox shakes his head with a long, loud sigh.
"Have a good stay on Coruscant," he says, turning to Obi-Wan and completely ignoring Delia. "Do let an officer know when you plan to depart for the departure surveillance check."
"Of course," Obi-Wan lies through his teeth with a pleasant smile. "Have a good day."
Fives is hesitant and tense when he enters the motel room. His eyes are haunted, his skin dimmed of its normal glow, and his civilian clothes covered in the dirt of Coruscant's lower levels. But the blaster in his hands doesn't shake, ready to either shoot or flee in less than a second if this turns out to be a trap. It's not necessary. When he lowers his blaster, it does shake before it falls to the ground with a thud. A shuddering exhale of breath escapes him before he takes a stumbling step forward. Delia rushes forward, drawing him into her arms just as the door slides closed behind Fives' back. "You look like shit," she says, but her shaky voice and too tight hug make it sound more like an overly honest, astute observation rather than the joking jab she probably meant it as. Fives' answering chuckle is unsteady, his "Thanks, babe," almost wet as he clings to Delia and hides his face against the curve of her neck. Their relief is almost tangible in the force, and Obi-Wan turns away to give them a sense of privacy. Not that he can give them much in the single room they've rented, but at least he can turn on the kettle, his back to them, and the sound of water boiling drowning out their soft whispers. When the kettle flicks off, he lines up three cups and hangs a little tea bag in each of them. Motel provided ones, so the quality will be abysmal, but it will be tea, and thus offer a semblance of comfort. "Don't worry, we're going to get you out of here." Delia's voice picks up, just a bit louder to indicate that this part of the conversation is also meant for Obi-Wan. He turns and watches the couple for a moment. Delia stands close to Fives, his hand resting against the small of her back. He feels stressed, confused, perhaps, but there is no panic. He's probably had time to think now, process the situation. "Perhaps first we can sit down with a cup of tea," Obi-Wan says, and then offers Fives an apologetic smile. "Now is as good a time as any. And you can tell us what happened." Delia frowns. "Obi-Wan, we agreed, didn't we?" "Of course, but our departure slot is another 6 hours away, so we have the time." Plus, while he'd agreed with Delia to help pick up Fives, he has also agreed with Sarasi and Neild to find out what happened with Fives and exactly why he is wanted before their ship lands in the Zahava spaceport. "I'll tell you," Fives says, before Delia can object. He glances around the room. "But you're sure this place is safe?" Obi-Wan shrugs. "It's either here or on the ship." "Then we do it on the ship," Delia says firmly. Fives chuckles, shaking his head. "It's fine, babe. We'll talk here. But if it turns out I'm some murdering psychopath, the ship might be a little too late to find out." Delia turns a panicked frown to Fives. "You're not." "I know, but Obi-Wan should know too. And you," he gently pokes a finger against the tip of her nose, "should know better than to drag me into hyperspace without answers, because I know you've got questions." Delia sighs. "Okay," she says. "You're right." "Why don't you sit down?" Obi-Wan motions to the couch before he turns back to the kitchenette and the cups of tea. He takes out the bags and picks up two cups, moving to hand them to Delia and Fives. "You might not believe me anyway," Fives says, with a humorless laugh. Disappointment flashes in his eyes as he mutters, "The captain and the general didn't." He looks down at the cup of tea Obi-Wan hands him. "Thanks. Not to be ungrateful, but you got something stronger." "Maybe in the mini-conservator," Delia says. But Obi-Wan is still trying to catch up to the fact that neither Rex nor Skywalker believed Fives. And now, Fives is a fugitive. Fives pulls a bottle out of the mini-conservator and twists the cap off. He smells at the bottle and makes a face. "Better than nothing," he mutters, and pours an overly generous helping into his cup of tea. He closes the conservator with his foot, placing the bottle on top for future use, and then turns to Obi-Wan and Delia. He looks furious, contempt dripping from his voice as he says, "I found out there's chips in our heads. Ours. All the clones." He proceeds to tell them about Tup, about Kamino, about the tumors that had turned out to be biochips implanted in every clone. And not just biochips, but mind control chips. Silence hangs in the room when Fives stops speaking, and the only sounds are the Coruscant life outside the door, the leaking of the tap in the fresher, and the ticking of the antique chrono above the bed. Holy fucking shit, Delia breathes. Fives looks haunted, tortured, and devastated all at once. He takes a sip of his tea and, when he finds it too hot, puts it down on top of the conservator and grabs the bottle of whatever alcohol he poured into his tea instead. He takes it with him to the couch, sinking down onto it, and immediately Delia puts a comforting hand on his knee. Obi-Wan can't blame the man. He kind of wishes for a drink himself. Because it's absolutely devastating. Mind control chips. Millions of men with chips in their heads that can take over their free will. Kark, did the Jedi request this? The thought alone doesn't sit well in Obi-Wan's stomach, and the Force is adamantly insisting that something about that is wrong. It doesn't change the fact that it is an atrocity as much as a tragedy. The Force insists that he listen, that he help. And even without that, Obi-Wan knows he would have wanted to at least investigate this. Carefully, he asks, "You have proof?" Fives looks at him with an unhappy frown. "I have a chip in my head." Obi-Wan bows his head in acknowledgement and apology. He feels almost unfair asking, but he needs to know. Needs to be mindful of the fact that he isn't just Delia's friend, he is also responsible for Melodon. So, he asks the one question that hasn't actually been answered yet. "Why is there a bounty on your head?" I tried to kill Chancellor Palpatine. There is nothing but anguish and truth in the Force. "What?" Delia whispers. "Why?" Obi-Wan blinks, wondering how they went from mind control chips to Fives attempting to murder the Chancellor of the Republic. "Can you please explain?" he asks carefully, not sure if he even wants the answer. "The Kaminoans, they wanted to destroy me, like some sort of defective droid. But General T, she argued that I should be sent to the Chancellor to present my findings. I'm not sure if she believed me, or if she thought it really was a virus and I was sick, but at least she didn't want to have me killed." "And what did the Chancellor say?" Obi-Wan says, but something tells him it's nothing good considering the current situation. "I'm not sure," Fives says with a pinched expression. "The memories, it's all a jumble in my head, like molten lava. I think it's those drugs they gave me." Delia gasps. "They drugged you? Who?" "The Kaminoans. They injected me with something before they brought me to the Chancellor. And I don't know what happened, but suddenly my brain felt like it was liquid and..." Fives hesitates, looking down at the bottle in his hands as if he is contemplating taking another sip. He grimaces instead. "And I saw red." "Why would they?" Obi-Wan mutters to himself. He looks at Fives with a frown. "Could it be that the Kaminoans implanted the chips without the Republic's knowledge?" Fives nods. "Master T didn't seem to know." Obi-Wan lets out a heavy breath. "So it's a cover-up." Fives grimaces, his anger burning hot in the Force. "Yeah, fuck." He gives a hollow laugh. "I tried to kill the Chancellor." "Fives," Delia breathes, her hand drawing a comforting circle on his knee. "If they gave you drugs, it's not... you weren't yourself." Obi-Wan nods. "And, depending on which drug, we might still be able to figure out what it was. Some drugs leave traces in your body for days or weeks after they've been administered." "Thanks," Fives says, and gives Obi-Wan a small smile. "I'd like to try that." "Then we will," Obi-Wan promises. "We can also remove the chip." Fives swallows. "Yeah, I'd like that too." He takes a deep breath, suddenly nervous. "And then?" "Then you can apply for asylum on Melodon," Obi-Wan replies. Delia nods encouragingly. "Don't worry, it's just a formal process. You can move in with me for sure," she says, and then, a bit more shy and hesitant, adds, "if you want." Fives shakes his head. "No, I meant the chips." There is agreement in the Force that makes Obi-Wan hesitate to say anything, whether that be yes or no. Instead, he looks at Delia almost helplessly. "There's..." Delia hesitates and searches for words. "Honey, we can't do anything about them." "But..." Fives' face falls. They're my brothers. I have to. There is no subtlety in the Force as it almost pushes at Obi-Wan with an urge to help. For fuck's sake. Obi-Wan sighs and rubs a hand over his beard. Regardless of what either Delia or I feel personally, Melodon comes first. Once we've had an expert analyze that chip, we, this includes you, can speak to the Council. Delia gives Obi-Wan a surprised smile at his words, at his support. Then she turns to Fives. We'll probably be met with a lot of resistance when we do. Then I best start preparing my speech already, Fives says, jutting his chin up in confidence. I know what's in my head. For a moment, Obi-Wan can't help but wonder what will happen if that's really true. What are they going to find? What are they going to unravel? What are they getting themselves into? It's 3 a.m. Coruscant time when they leave. When they get into their small, unremarkable ship and get themselves cleared for departure, after the excuse that an emergency has come up, so they can't wait until morning, unfortunately, very sorry, did flight control know that Obi-Wan is Triumvir of Melodon and, yes, thank you ever so much for your understanding? Only when they're out of Atmo and Obi-Wan starts retrieving the coordinates for the fastest route back to Melodon from the Navicomputer, do any of them dare to breathe again. Well, Fives breathes as he leans against the doorframe of the cockpit. They only have two chairs in the cockpit, and Obi-Wan needs Delia in the co-pilot seat for takeoff, so Fives offered to stand. That was remarkably anticlimactic. He laughs to himself, still slightly nervous. I was convinced the Corys would show up. Delia turns in the co-pilot chair to give Fives a grin. When we arrived, Commander Fox told us they take a 6-hour nightly break from the surveillance checks to give the men some rest. Taking a break, Commander Fox? Fives asks incredulously, before he barks a laugh. But there is understanding in his eyes and a gratefulness in his tone when he adds, "Who would have thought?" Obi-Wan smiles to himself. They certainly owe the commander for letting them slip through. Then the Navi computer beeps, indicating it's finished its calculations. All right, ready to make the jump to hyperspace and get out of here, he says. Once they've made the jump to hyperspace and Delia and Fives have gone for a nap, probably a lie, but Obi-Wan will happily believe it, Obi-Wan sends a message to Sarasi and Neald. There's not much information he's willing to send, so they will just have to accept his,
"Everything went well. Now on the way back to Melodon."
It is all the confirmation they need for now, anyway. He leans back in the pilot chair afterwards, thinking now would be a good moment to meditate when his comlink chimes. He checks the screen, and his heart flutters when he sees who it is. But after a second, he frowns. Last he heard, the 212th was on a campaign expected to last several weeks, reclaiming a planet, which one, Cody hadn't shared, nor had Obi-Wan asked. For Cody to contact him now, while he should, by all rights, still be on said campaign, is worrying. "Hello, my dear," Obi-Wan answers, feeling both curious and cautious.
"Hello, Obi-Wan,"
Cody greets, but his voice doesn't carry the normal amount of softness. Even more, distant sound of chatter, laughter, and the sounds reminiscent of camp fill the background. Still on that campaign, then. "How is the campaign?" he asks carefully, and hopes the answer to that is good, rather than a potential, "I got shot and Steady only gave me another few hours, and I had to hear your voice before I die." Granted, Cody doesn't sound like he's hurt, but in the end, who's to say?
"It is,"
Cody says with a sigh.
"Had some distraction. Fox called, said you were on Coruscant."
Obi-Wan's eyes flicker to the door, through which a hallway leads to the bedrooms, to where Fives and Delia are sleeping. Ah, he thinks. Shit. This is something he should have perhaps thought of before. But he hasn't, and now all he can do is hope that Cody is totally on board with whatever he is guessing is going on, rather than feel hurt or betrayed or inclined to hand Obi-Wan, Delia, and Fives over to Republic authorities. He doesn't think it will come to that, though. Cody is a man of duty, but he is perhaps, more importantly, a brother. The only question is if he has heard the truth. Only briefly. We had some urgent business to attend to, Obi-Wan says neutrally, casually. We're already on the way back to Melodon.
A pity,
Cody sighs.
Fox said the 501st is still on Coruscant, and that Rex would like to talk to you.
Rex? Obi-Wan frowns, reminded of Fives' comment that the captain hadn't believed him.
Yes, he's been worried since what happened 5 days ago. He wants to apologize and ask how he can make it up to you.
Obi-Wan resists the urge to let out a sigh of relief, because he hears the very clear message in Cody's words, which aren't actually meant for him. But does Cody know the truth, the full story? Does Rex? Even if he doesn't, it's not Obi-Wan's to share. Nor is it his place to confirm that any kind of contact will be made in the future, even though he knows Fives will want to reach out, if only to plead his case and help his brothers, but that is, in the end, a plan still to be made. He sighs. I'm not sure yet. His actions... He trails off for a moment. I need some time to think it over. Cody hums in understanding.
Of course. I understand. I'll let him know he'll just have to wait a bit longer.
Thanks. A clatter in the background, a cry and some laughter, and then a tired sigh from Cody.
I've got to go.
I know. Thanks for reaching out, Cody, he says, for even if this is mostly a business call, it's still great to hear the other's voice.
Thanks for listening,
Cody replies, and then, his voice carrying the familiar softness again, asks,
And Obi-Wan?
I know, Obi-Wan replies with a fond smile. Me too. It feels like a sigh of relief when they land on Melodon. Cerasi and Neald are there to meet them at the docking bay. Welcome, Cerasi greets Fives with a smile. There's a bit of hesitation there, but that's expected. Fives confidently steps up to the pair and gives a bow of his head in gratitude. Thank you for taking me in. It was no choice, really, Neald says. To Fives, it might sound like a kindness, but next to Obi-Wan, Delia does wince. I hope you don't mind that we've taken the liberty of filing your asylum request on your behalf. Neald holds out a piece of flimsy to Fives. All it needs is your signature. Oh, thanks, Fives says, taking the flimsy and looking over it. Fig, he says with a frown. That's not my name. Vif, Neald says with a grin. Melodani for Five. Could hardly put your actual name out there considering, well, he waves a hand in the air. We wanted to avoid anyone finding you so easily, Cerasi adds, although your request will still have to be approved, but we can talk about procedures and perform the intake interview tomorrow. The Immigration and Naturalization Services, or INS, processes asylum requests and all processes and procedures around it without government involvement. They, neither the Triumvirate nor the Council, don't speak to any refugees, not as part of their immigration process, at least. But this case will be a bit different. Neald has already sent him an adjusted procedure, approved by the INS, to include additional interviews with government officials before full sign-off of the request can take place. Considering the possible consequences of this particular request, they're right to be concerned and take precautions. But Obi-Wan, knowing what he does, doesn't want to wait until the request has made its way through the INS to discuss both Fives' fugitive status and the chips. Not with Fives so desperate to help his brothers in a situation that could very well be time-sensitive. I think, he starts slowly, and with a smile Cerasi and Neald possibly see right through, that it might be a good idea to also schedule a meeting with the Council tomorrow. Cerasi has already informed them of the situation, and Obi-Wan is happy he wasn't there to see the fallout of it. But if his friend is to be believed, it wasn't nearly as bad as they expected. Ventha, Minister of Culture and Education, had even sent back a message saying she was happy they could take someone out of the war. Fives' relief at the topic being brought up is almost tangible. To meet with Fives, Cerasi asks. Yes, Obi-Wan says with a nod. And Rowenny should be there too. Cerasi raises an eyebrow in surprise, eyes sweeping over Fives as if she expects to see something physically wrong with him. She turns her eyes back to Obi-Wan with a frown. Because? Neeld is looking at him, resignation already in his eyes. Because Obi-Wan's bleeding heart is too big to let something rest for once in his fucking life. He rubs a hand over his forehead with a sigh. How upset are we going to be this time? Obi-Wan clears his throat. I think I'll yet again surprise you. Neeld sighs and raises his eyes skyward. Great. 2 days later, Fives stands in front of the council and shares the news of the chips and his recollection of events to a shocked audience. Silence follows, the force filled with shock, confusion, and a surprising amount of anger. Neeld is the first to speak up. So, let me recap, he says slowly, and there is a fury burning in him, like a hearth lit aflame. You found out that your cloners put mind-controlled chips in your heads that you didn't know about. Not only that, they're claiming it's a disease which makes you sound a lot like a conspiracy theorist with a loose screw. Fives raises his chin. Yeah, I'd say that covers it. And how do we know you have a chip in your head? Sen asks, skeptical as always. That is why I asked Dr. Roeni to be here, Obi-Wan says, gesturing to Roeni. She can easily answer some of your questions from a medical perspective. He'd briefed Roeni the same day they'd gone back to Meladon, giving her a summary of the situation and sharing the information about the chips so she could prepare. Roeni looks at Sen. We can easily do a brain scan to prove there's a chip. The results are, however, protected by patient confidentiality. I can share the information, though, can't I? Fives asks. You certainly can, Roeni answers. Good, Fives nods. I want the whole galaxy to know about this. Do you know what happens when the chips are activated? Florent asks, leaning his elbows on the table and watching Fives with a frown. He's been Minister of Health for 3.5 years. Still rather new, compared to many of the council members who have been re-elected at least once. But with a new minister come new ideas, and Obi-Wan knows Roeni likes Florent for the fact that he listens to the medical community when needed. Fives' confidence falls away, quickly replaced by heartbreak and anger. I've seen it happen with a brother. He wasn't himself anymore. His whole personality was gone, like he was nothing but a droid following orders. Fuck. Neeld whispers softly to himself, the noise barely carrying, and the only reason Obi-Wan hears it is because he's sitting next to him. Then, louder, and for the whole room to hear, he wonders, is that even possible? It's not meant as a question of disbelief, but having one's mind taken over by a chip sounds a lot like the plot of a horror hollow. All eyes turn to Roeni. She looks livid. Before she speaks, she takes a deep breath and her tone is level and professional when she says, I'm not an expert in this field, she warns, but with my knowledge, I would say that yes, it is possible depending on the kind of biochip. It is also a total breach of any bodily autonomy law in existence. Fives grimaces and with a hint of bitterness says, we're not actually considered sentient. You're not even, Neeld asks. Shock as clear in his voice as in the force around him. He breaks himself off with a harsh breath. Why do you still fight for the Republic when they care so little for you? That's not what we're discussing here. Neeld's eyes flash to Obi-Wan, shock replaced by anger. Maybe we should, he hisses. For a moment, Obi-Wan wonders how much of himself Neeld sees in Fives. He wouldn't consider them similar. Fives is easy to joke and quick to make decisions, whereas Neeld is more reserved and cautious, despite his temper. Yet perhaps it isn't Fives, per se, that tugs at Neeld in recognition. Perhaps it is the clones as a whole, stuck fighting a war and seemingly with far less choice than even the clones themselves realize. Men, hundreds and thousands, dying for a republic that doesn't seem to care about them. Yes, that hits close to home. For all of them. Taking the silence as an opportunity to change the subject, Roeni softly asks, Fives, may I ask, is your chip still in? She holds up a hand with a small but warm smile. Obviously, you don't have to answer that if you don't want to. Fives doesn't hesitate. It is. Roeni nods. If you want, I can set up an appointment. Then we can do a scan and discuss potentially removing the chip. Oh, I want it out, and out of my brother's as well. Well, I can't do brain surgery by Hollow yet, Rowenny says, sounding thoughtful. Like she is aware it isn't an option, but is considering what would be. But if they were here, Fives asks. The question elicits surprise from the room, and Obi-Wan holds his breath as he waits for the other shoe to drop. When Rowenny catches on, she grins sharply. Then we can, yes. Onimek huffs. Well, that's just too bad that there's only you here, she says impatiently, and turns to Obi-Wan with a frown. Why are we in this meeting anyway? This sounds more like a medical topic that I highly doubt we need the whole council for. Neild rubs a hand over his temple with a sigh, obviously having caught on to what Obi-Wan's plan behind this meeting has been all along. Well, Obi-Wan, he asks, and there is a mix of emotions there. Frustration and resignation, as expected, but lingering just underneath that is a hint of approval. A hint of agreement. It sparks hope in Obi-Wan's chest that they might succeed in convincing the council that this is the right thing to do. After breathing out in an attempt to get rid of some of his nerves, Obi-Wan tells the room, "The council is here because we can help in bringing more of the men here." "You want us to bring the clones here?" Sen demands, eyes wide in shock. "No," Onimek interrupts loudly, anger flaring in her eyes. "You want to bring soldiers here, to Melodon?" "Men," Obi-Wan says, "with control chips in their heads." "That remains to be seen," Onimek sneers. "I won't even think about discussing anything related to this ridiculous idea without proper proof of a... what did you call it?" she asks, and turns a raised eyebrow to Fives. "A behavioral control chip." "Well," Rowenny says, with a pointed look and a promise in her voice. "Like I said, we can prove that easily enough." End of chapter 10.